Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Unlikely that I'll get to any calls today, although I will answer some questions. As normal, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I wanted to start the broadcast today with the quote of the day, and perhaps some backdrop is necessary. I was reading about a scholar and a statesman. His name is Richard Legutko. He's a professor of philosophy. He served in Poland as Minister of Education, as Secretary of State, Deputy Speaker of the Senate. So this is not a lightweight. He's invited to come to speak at Middlebury College. So he travels from Poland to the home state of Bernie Sanders, Vermont, and he's going to speak on his book, The Demon in Democracy. After several days of travel, he finds out that the college has disinvited him. They issue a statement by students and scholars at the university, that he is a homophobe. They append a word to homophobe. It's the F word, at least on Facebook. And then there's a whole litany of things that he is described as. The quote of the day comes from this scholar and statesman who writes, "Liberal democracy tends to develop the qualities that were characteristic of communism. Pervasive politicization, ideological zeal, aggressive social engineering, vulgarity, a belief in the inevitability of progress, destruction of family, the omnipresent rule of ideological correctness, severe restriction of intellectual inquiry. All of these and more I remember from my young days in communism, and all these I have been observing with a growing sense of alarm in today's liberal democracy." Now, when he's describing liberal democracy, he's quite rightly showing a morphing that's taking place from liberal democracy to illiberal democracy. And so he describes the pervasive politicization. Everything has become politicized, including human sexuality, the ideological zeal, meaning the zeal without knowledge. People who start with a conclusion, no longer with a question. Aggressive social engineering. Think about the big tech companies that are eradicating freedom of speech, manipulating views. Imagine living in a country in which political outcomes are determined by trillion-dollar tech companies, companies that are exerting more influence and power than some of the world's largest nations and economies. And you don't have to imagine, this is now happening. And altogether, it seems as though our democracy is just fine with it. Vulgarity. You have students and professors protesting Richard Legutko's speaking engagement at Middlebury College, not only with an issued statement declaring him to be a homophobe, but using vulgarities to describe what kind of homophobe he is. And that without any warrant whatsoever. They now have a belief in the inevitability of progress. How ironic. This is that kumbaya notion. No sin, no sickness, no subjugation, humanity wholly apart from God, they believe is now empowered to bring heaven down to earth. We have the destruction of the family. The new normal, according to a pictorial description of family in Time magazine. Quintessential example, Pete Buttigieg and his husband, pictured in Time as the new normal family. And then you have the omnipresent rule of ideological correctness. You know, all the harbingers. Gender fluidity, same-sex sexuality, same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, and of course the Bible now being depicted as the textbook on slavery. And you hear this from pundits, pastors, politicians. They're singing this tune with regularity, the Bible, a textbook on slavery. This most certainly is not determined by a careful reading of Scripture, but a prejudice. Again, it is a conclusion as opposed to a question. The conclusion is formed, and we have to believe it. And so now, if you quote from the Bible, I just read an article this morning about a famous rugby player who quoted the Bible on human sexuality. And as a result of that, he's about to lose everything. He's about to lose his endorsement contracts. He's about to lose his position as a premier rugby player, one of the very best, if not the best in the world. And his response is enlightening. He doesn't curse the darkness. He's building a lighthouse. Because in the end, he says it doesn't matter. What really matters is that his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is pleased with what he does. And I think one of the things all of us have to recognize in this new normal is that as Christians, we will be persecuted. Perhaps we're not going to face the kind of persecution, at least not yet, that Christians are facing in the Levant, where they face mass genocide. But they will, and it's not they, it's we, I suppose, we will face persecution. It may be that we are banned from radio if we say things that are ideologically not in step with the new norms set by a repressive culture. It may be that you lose your job. We do not as yet know all of the ramifications that are coming our way. But like the rugby player, his last name Israel, we can say, here I stand. I can do no other. When principles that go against your deepest convictions, said Abraham Kuyper, begin to win the day, then battle is your calling. Peace has become sin. You must, at the price of dearest peace, lay your convictions bare before friend and enemy alike with all the fervor of your faith. And we intend to do that at the Christian Research Institute through Hank Unplugged, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our videos. We will continue to speak truth to a culture that desperately needs to hear it. And of course, I'm deeply grateful for all of you that make that possible, for those of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember, resources available for those who support the ministry. You can find them on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back with a whole lot more. Stay tuned.
Few things are more essential to our existence than prayer, through which we experience communion with our Creator. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. Hank Hanegraaff wrote The Prayer of Jesus so that you can learn to pray as Jesus prayed and revolutionize your prayer life and experience even deeper union with Christ. To receive a copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply visit equip.org and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Perched against Hank Hanegraaff's bathroom mirror is a cross engraved with a prayer. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother. For you are blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. Hank Hanegraaff feels led by the Holy Spirit to share this prayer engraved cross with you in the hope that this cross and prayer might become as meaningful to you as it is to him. To receive this prayer engraved cross, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. This month, the Christian Research Institute is offering a cross with an engraved prayer that is profoundly personal to Hank Hanegraaff. Because this cross and prayer have had such a deep and enduring impact on Hank's life, he feels led by the Holy Spirit to share it with you in the hope that it might become just as meaningful to you. To receive this prayer engraved cross for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply visit equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. I want to share a note that was dropped on my desk today. It is a very encouraging note, and it shows the scope of the outreach of our ministry. It starts off with the words, "Dear Mr. Hanegraaff, I know the chances of you reading this is probably quite small, but I thought I'd drop you a note nonetheless. My name is Dave. I live in a small town in South Africa where I find myself part of a Reformed Baptist church. I'm by no means Reformed in my theology. Neither would I classify myself as a true Baptist, but my wife and I feel the need to be part of a community of faith where we can be of some use to our Father, and our little church is the best option by far. Being part of a church with which you do not share the theology can be quite disheartening, and Calvinists can be quite combative when it comes to their point of view. There have been times where we thought to ourselves that maybe it's better to just leave, but we know that this also is not the answer. Anyways, to make a long story short, I came across your YouTube channel a while back, quite by chance, and it has breathed life back into my spiritual life. Thank you for your ministry. It has far-reaching effects, even to the southernmost tip of Africa. Your videos have blessed me so much, and I'm once again excited about my walk with God. I want to thank you for that, and as a parting note, I'm praying for your health. May our Father, who is the great healer, grant you a full healing. Many blessings, Dave." I love that note, and for a lot of reasons, including the last thing he shared, he is praying for a full healing, and as I mentioned earlier this week, that has now become a possibility. Typically, when you have mantle cell lymphoma, you can go into remission for long periods of time, but the thought of healing is sort of out of the question. But now there is a treatment, and if that treatment is successful and all the markers are pointing in that direction, I will be fully healed before the end of the third quarter this year. And so that possibility has given me great hope because I want to serve the Lord with vigor and passion for many years to come. Some Facebook questions, one by Greg that I thought was very interesting. He had been challenged by someone regarding his recent celebration of Easter. And the challenge is this: if Jesus was dead for 3 days and for three nights, how is Good Friday representing his death? Then 2 days later, Sunday celebrated as his resurrection. To paraphrase the question, how in the world do you get 72 hours out of that? And of course, that's the canard, the idea that you have to have 72 hours. Jesus' own contention was that he was going to rise on the third day, not after the third day. And the third night had ended. So Jesus himself precludes the possibility of 72 hours. All you need is 3 days. And that's what we have. Christ died on Friday. He was in the tomb on Saturday. And he rose from the tomb on Sunday. In Jewish idiom, part of a day constitutes a day, and therefore you have the 3 days. And of course, there are many analogies to this. Jesus dying on the day of preparation, which was Friday. The gospel writers are unanimous regarding the discovery of Jesus' resurrection early on the morning of the day following the Sabbath, which is Sunday, the first day of the week. And of course, there are so many typological markers in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His sacrificial death, his miraculous resurrection on the third day is the glorious fulfillment of the Old Testament types and shadows, including the Passover lamb, Jonah's preparation for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, and the restoration, of course, of Israel on the third day as prophesied by Hosea. So you have a prophecy in the Old Testament, the fulfillment in the new. Jesus is not only the fulfillment, he is the quintessential reality, which takes what was prefigured in the Old Testament and brings it to living color in the new, and I would say vicariously in our lives in the 21st century as well. Another Facebook question, Taz Keller. Why do the Seventh-day Adventists believe we sleep after death before Jesus returns, and is that view correct? Well, let me say from the outset, no, that view is absolutely incorrect. In fact, I think it is a very serious mistake, because from the perspective of Seventh-day Adventists, the soul of a man is indistinguishable from the whole of a man. And therefore, the soul cannot continue to exist continuously apart from the body in a conscious fashion. But this is against all biblical reason. The soul is not the whole of a human being. The New Testament unambiguously communicates that the soul continues to have awareness after the body has died. We see that many places. My favorite address is Luke chapter 16, because there you have the parable of a rich man and a beggar who die physically, and yet they experience conscious awareness in the intermediate state. This is a fact which is very difficult to deny in light of the rich man's brothers who are living, and the final judgment has not yet occurred. We have to recognize that sleep is a common biblical metaphor for the death of the body. In John 11, you have the clearest of all examples. Remember, in that passage, Jesus is telling his disciples, our friend Lazarus. This is a different Lazarus than the Lazarus that I just mentioned. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. And then the disciples say, Lord, if he is sleeping, he's going to get better. But Jesus was speaking of death using the metaphor of sleep. The disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And so here, as in many other examples, the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death. But the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. If the soul did not continue in conscious awareness after the death of the body, it would be incongruent for the Apostle Paul to desire to be away from the body in order to be at home with the Lord. That famed passage in which Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm kind of torn between two choices. I desire to depart and be with Christ. That's probably better. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So the question has to be asked, how could death be better by far? The point here, as in other places in the biblical text, is that far from soul sleep, to be with Christ is soul satisfaction. That's how it's better. You are absent from the body. You're present with the Lord. You're in that great cloud of witnesses. So the bottom line here is that soul sleep has nothing to commend it biblically. The Bible is clear on this point. The soul continues to have conscious existence apart from the body that dies. So the body is buried, absent the body, present with the Lord. And of course, that's the intermediate state, because those who have gone on before us, they're awaiting that great eventuality. Jesus will come a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. The problem of sin and Satan will be forever resolved, and we will be ushered into an eternal kingdom that is beyond anything we can imagine. And if that is true, we can live by a different standard than the world. No matter what persecution comes our way, we can stand firmly and with peace in the midst of life's storms. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, my deepest appreciation for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're touching the lives of people all around the globe. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.